This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayigash. And in Parshas Vayigash, Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. And after Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, Yosef asks that his brothers and Yaakov and their family should come down to Egypt, because it was predicted that it's going to be 7 years of famine, and only 2 years have passed since. So there remains potentially 5 more years. Therefore, Yosef asks that his brothers and his fathers come down to Egypt. The Pasuk relates on Pasuk number 16 that Paroi heard that the brothers of Yosef have come, and it was pleasing to Paroi. And seemingly, the Pasuk seems to imply that independently, Paroi asks Yosef to tell his brothers to bring his father down to Egypt. The Ramban and the Rachaim explain that the reason that Paroi wanted Yaakov and his brothers to come to Egypt, that it was embarrassing for Paroi until now that he elevated Yosef from the status of a slave to become viceroy over Egypt, where there is a law that no slave could ascend to that position. But now that he found out that Yosef comes from royalty, Paroi looked forward to bring down Yaakov and his brothers to prove to everybody that Yosef was from royal blood, and remove that embarrassment. Or according to the Sfarim, the reason Paroi wanted Yaakov to come down to Egypt, Paroi was a very smart king. Paroi knew that a person, for example, that owns his own store, his supervision and his amount of work and his commitment to that store is much greater than if you just hire an employee and the employee is looking over the store. Therefore, Paroi realized that if Yosef's family settles in Egypt, his supervision over Egypt is going to be much greater than when he's doing just a temporary job where he plans to go back to Eretz Israel after the famine is over. Therefore, Paroi decided to bring down Yaakov to Egypt. Like that, Yosef will be more committed and have a greater supervision on his job. I wanted to say that it could be that is a totally different reason. That if you take a look, when Yosef suggested that the brothers come, Yosef gives a reason on Pasuk number 11 that I will feed you because there's still another 5 years of famine. But Yosef, when he tells the people to come down, he says, come down, vo'isa korav elai, and you'll be close to me, ato you, vonecho your children, vevonecho your grandchildren, vetzoincho your sheep, vekarcho and your cattle, vechol asher loch, and everything that you have. In other words, Yosef is telling, come down temporarily because it's going to be another 5 years of famine. And why go back and forth the whole time schlepping food? Come down and I'll feed you. And after 5 years, technically, you could go back. But Paroi is afraid that after the famine is over, Yosef is going to go back to Eretz Israel. That he's going to quit his job, say, I already fulfilled what I'm supposed to fulfill, and he'll go back to Egypt. Now that everybody knows that Yosef is a free man, Paroi will be powerless to keep him from going back to Eretz Israel. Therefore, Paroi got smart. Paroi says, this is a perfect chance for me to bring Yosef's family, the whole family, down to Egypt. Like that, even after the famine is over, Yosef will remain here and will work for me, and he'll continue doing the job. And therefore, Paroi on Pasuk number 18 says, Ukhu es avichem ve'ez boteichem, take your father and your household and come to me. In other words, the whole household, not only the people that need to be fed. I want you to move down to Egypt, and I'm giving you a place to stay, and I'm giving you that you should eat from the fat of the land. Basically, Paroi is saying, I want everybody to move down to Egypt. And Paroi's intention was like that Yosef won't quit, that after the job is over, after the famine is over, the 7 years of famine, Yosef won't want to go out and go back to Eretz Israel, because everybody that he knows is now in Egypt. Therefore, he'll continue to be the administrator over the whole country, even after the famine is over. The story continues that Paroi actually sends on Pasuk number 19, Va'ato tziveiso zoi sasu, I command you that you should do that, that tell your brothers, Kulochem Meretz Mitzrayim, let your brothers take from the land of Egypt agolois, wagons, letaphem unashechem, for your wives and your children. Unesasim es avichem, you should carry your father uvasim, you should come. We see clearly that Paro is sent to Yaakov wagons. But there is an interesting comment from Daz Kenim in Baal HaToisves. Daz Kenim in Baal HaToisves says, perish, it means to say, Chulochem agolos etapchan ashechem, that you should bring wagons for your children and your wives, but unesasim es avichem, al kasfoisechem uvasim, but your father you should carry on your shoulders and you should come. In other words, the Daz Kenim makes a point to divide this pasuk and say that this pasuk means to say that the wagons aren't made for Yaakov Avinu, the wagons are only made for the children and the wives, but Yaakov himself you should bring him on your shoulders. Keep this note of the Baal HaToisves in your mind, because we are going to refer to it and I'm going to make a comment on that. And then when pasuk number 27, after the brothers tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive, it says Vayofek liboy kiloyhem in lohem, Yaakov's heart rejected it, that he did not believe the brothers. Then pasuk number 27 says Vaydabru Elof es kol divrei Yosef, they told him all the words of Yosef, Asher diber aleihem, that he told them to say, Vayar es ha'agolois, and then he saw the wagons, Asher sholach Yosef losei zoisoi, that Yosef had sent to carry him. At that moment, Vatchi ruach Yaakov aviem, Yaakov's spirit became revived, and Yaakov believed them. The Medrash Rabbe on Perek Tzadik Dalet Simon Gimel asks a question, what do you mean that you saw the wagons that Yosef sent? We know that it is not Yosef that sent the wagons. It was actually Paro who sent the wagons. The Medrash answers that those carriages, those wagons that Paro had sent, had an avodah zarah, an idol engraved in it. And since Yehuda saw that he had idolatry engraved, Yehuda decided to burn them. And those wagons that Yaakov saw were the wagons that Yosef brought. In other words, the Medrash is trying to say that there were two sets of wagons. One wagon that Paro sent, but Paro had engraved on it an image of an idol, and Yehuda did not want to use it, therefore Yehuda burned it. And then Yosef sent another set of wagons to carry Yaakov. It is a very interesting answer, but that answer still doesn't answer the question on the pasuk. The pasuk seems to imply that Yaakov Avinu did not believe what the brothers told him, but as soon as he saw the agolas, as soon as he saw the wagons that Yosef sent, then he believed his brothers, and then Yaakov's spirit became revived. How is the fact that Yaakov saw the wagons that Yosef sent caused his spirit to be revived? The simple answer is that because it was known fact that no wagons could leave Egypt without permission from Paroi. And now that Yaakov saw that they actually brought wagons, they realized that what they said before, that Yosef is the ruler of Egypt, must be true. Therefore, at that point, his spirit became revived. But Mefarshim answered in a little different way. Mefarshim explained that Yaakov Avinu knew that Yosef is alive, because Yaakov Avinu also knows that since he cannot be consoled for 22 years, obviously it must be that Yosef is alive, because if Yosef would have been dead, then Yaakov could have been consoled. But Yaakov thought that yes, Yosef is alive, but Yosef's spirituality is dead. That since Yosef was only 17 years old when he disappeared, then obviously he must be influenced by his surroundings, and all the surrounding people were all idolaters and all were corrupt. Yaakov thought that Yosef is also corrupt. Therefore, when the brothers tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive and that Yosef is the ruler of Egypt, Yaakov has double problems now, because Yaakov knows that Egypt is a place that is a lot of idolatry. Then what good is it if his son is alive, if he is an idol worshipper? But when Yaakov saw the wagons that Yosef sent, then Yaakov realized that Yosef is not an idolater. How did he know that Yosef is not an idolater, because Yehuda brought the wagons that Paroi sent, and he also brought the wagons that Yosef sent. And you could tell the difference between the two wagons. This wagon has idolatry in it, and this wagon is totally devoid and totally clean. Therefore, Yaakov realized that Yosef knows not to send idolatry to his father, and he knows to keep all the idolatry out. Therefore, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam, Yaakov's spirit became revived. And it could be that Yosef realized that Paroi put idolatry in those wagons. But Yosef wanted them to give a message to Yaakov that he is still spiritually clean. So therefore, Yosef asks Yehuda, take these carriages and show my father the difference between the carriages that Paroi gave and the carriages that I am sending. And like that, you will see how clean, how devoid of idolatry they are. Therefore, Yaakov will realize that I did not do anything wrong, and I'm keeping myself clean, even though I'm this place in Egypt that is full of idolatry. Therefore, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam, Yaakov's spirit became revived. Satmar Rebbe explains that according to this Medrash, the Medrash explains that Paroi had sent to Yaakov wagons that had idols on it, then he understands why the Zbazakenim Baal Tosfos explains was the purpose for Paroi to tell the brothers to make sure you put your children and your wives on the carriages, but Yaakov himself you carry on your shoulders. And he explains that we know that Yaakov was a very big expert on idols. As the Pasuk brings down on chapter 35, Pasuk number 2, there, after the conquest of Shechem, there it says, Vayomer Yaakov el Beisoi, Yaakov tells his house, Velkol asher imoi, and everything that's with him, Hesiru es Elohei anecher asher besoichem, remove the gods that's amongst you. Why specifically now? Because since now we had conquered Shechem, and together with the things from Shechem, we took away those idols, and that is forbidden. So the question is, how is it possible that the brothers or the people that conquered Shechem, that they would bring back idols? We know that the Shvatim, or the people in Yaakov's family, are not idol worshippers. Then obviously they would not take any idols that were there. Why was it necessary for Yaakov to say, remove all the idols amongst you? On that, the Medrash Rabbah brings down, Rav Krospedom, Rav Yochanan says, Einanu bekim bedikduke avoydezara, that we don't know all the particulars of avoydezara, ke Yaakov avinu, like Yaakov. In other words, obviously, if it would be obvious idols, the brothers would not take from Shechem the idols, because they know idolatry is prohibited. Obviously, it must have been a technical or obscure kind of idol, that they were hidden idols, or hidden in a way that people should not perceive. But even though it's hidden the way it's not perceived, it could harm spiritually the people. Therefore, Yaakov tells everybody, according to Rav Krospedoe, bring it to me, I will check it out, and you remove like that all the idols that you have, even those who are not perceived. So we see from this Medrash that Yaakov was the expert in idols. Paroi realized that if he lets the Jewish people come down to Mitzrayim, the Jewish people eradicate all kinds of idols, the Jewish people are eventually going to cause trouble in his society. Since his society is all a society of idol worshippers, he realized that if Yaakov and his children comes down, they will cleanse Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim will stop being a place of idol worshippers, and like that will ruin his business and his stature, because Paroi himself made himself like a god, and the Nile was a god. It was going to change the whole culture of Egypt. But Paroi wants Yaakov to come, so Paroi decides that I'm going to put these idols, or these hidden idols which are not perceived outright, and I'm going to put it in those wagons, but I will make sure that Yaakov Avinu does not sit in those wagons. I will tell the brothers that I want you to bring your children in wagons, but according to Kibbutz Av V'Em, honoring your father and mother, that requires you to bring your father on your shoulders personally that you're not allowed to put your father on those wagons. Because Paroi knew that if Yaakov would sit in those wagons, he would automatically perceive that there is some idols and some connection to idol worshipper. But he wanted that the kids should sit in those things and the women should sit in those things. Like that, in the future, those kids will become corrupted. Even though Paroi only tells the children and the women to sit on those carriages, and Tapi means young children, and you're going to ask me what influence can Avodah Zarah have on young children. They are not old enough to understand what is going on. Then what difference does it make if they sit in a wagon that has idols or doesn't have idols? The answer is that anything influences young children. We make a mistake. We don't realize the power of the mind and the power of understanding of young children. In a further proof, we could see from the Yerushalmi in Chagiga, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, that there it mentions that even unborn children are influenced by idolatry in a bad way. Because we know there's a famous story about four people that went to the Pardes. The story is in Chagiga, Daf Yudalot Mabeis 14b. There the Gemara says, Arba Nechnesu Bepardes, four people went into Pardes, to the garden, which is Pardes, either paradise, comes from that. The four people are Ben Azai, Ben Zoima, Acher, which is Rav Elisha Ben Avuya, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Akiva told them, when you come close to the pure marble stones, meaning to the holiest part of it, do not look at it. Ben Azai hitzitz v'meiz. Ben Azai looked and died. Ben Zoima hitzitz v'nivga. Ben Zoima looked and became crazy. Acher kitzitz b'netiyos. Acher became a heretic. Rabbi Akiva went in peace, went out in peace. He didn't gaze, so he went in peace, he went out in peace. The Gemara goes on to say how Acher was a great man. He was the Rabbi of Rab Meir. And Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi that we just mentioned, that the Yerushalmi is trying to give a reason why Acher eventually turned out to be a heretic if he learned so much Torah, and if he knew so much that he was able to come into the Pardes. How is it possible that he turned out to be a heretic? And Tosfos says that Acher's mom, when she was pregnant, she passed by Avodah Zarah, and she smelled from the smell of Avodah Zarah, and that smell that she smelled and she enjoyed it, that caused in the future that her son would turn out to be a heretic. So here we see that even though you are a fetus in your mother's womb, but yet the power of idolatry, the power of corruption is so bad that it could influence you even though you have no idea what you're doing or what is done for you. And it's not in your choice to do it. So too, that since the children are going to sit on top of these idols, Paroi thought, I'm able to influence these children in the future that they'll eventually become corrupted. True that I cannot influence Yaakov and his 12 children, but any future children that will be born from them, they'll end up being heretics because they're sitting on those wagons. But in truth, Yehuda realized what it was done. So Yehuda took those carriages and Yehuda burned them because Yehuda realized what Paroi wanted to do. I wanted to say that this could be the reason that eventually Yaakov sends Yehuda in the end of this week's Parsha. On chapter 46, Pasuk number 28, says, Ves Yehuda sholach lefana vel Yosef lehoris lefana v'goshana. They send Yehuda to prepare the way to Goshana. So Rashi says that why did he go first? Umedrish Agada, Lehoiros Lefonov, to go prepare, Lesakim Loi Beis Talmud Shemesham Teitzaroa, to prepare a place for learning. Why specifically Yehuda went? The answer is that since Yaakov saw that Yehuda burned those wagons because Yehuda realized that they have idolatry, and Yehuda realizes how corrupting that force could be to children, then Yaakov realized that Yehuda will do anything possible in order for children not to be corrupt. Yaakov knew that Yehuda will pick a place that's devoid of idolatry and devoid of bad influences. Therefore, Yaakov specifically sent Yehuda to Goshen to prepare the way for a new school, for a new place to learn Torah. Satmar Rabbi explains, you see how important it is that children should be kept away from any bad influence, that we shouldn't think that since they are too young to understand what is going on, they cannot perceive what's happening. Therefore, you could do anything that you wouldn't do when they are adults, because you should know that anything wrong you do, or anything that it's around them, even though they may not have the brains to understand, but spiritually they are connected to what happens, and it could be bad to them in their future. The same way that the fact that Acher's mom just smelled idolatry caused in the future for him to become a heretic, because he had this bad influence, even though he didn't understand what is going on. So too by us, if we go to the places that we shouldn't, or we take children, even though they are very young, to places that we shouldn't, we hear things that we shouldn't, we do things that we shouldn't, then those things will definitely influence our children in a bad way. Therefore, we should try to do the proper things and have the children be influenced in the proper way. Going back to the original Medrash Rabbah, that the Medrash Rabbah asks a question, how is it that Yaakov Avinu saw the wagons that Yosef sent, and through the wagons he became sure that this is Yosef? So the Medrash continues, Rab Levi b'shem Rab Yochanan bar Shaul Omar, Rab Levi said in the name of Rab Yochanan bar Shaul, Im yamin lochem arei mutav, that Yosef told the brothers, if Yaakov will believe you just by saying I'm alive, good. Veim lav, if Yaakov does not believe you, atem oimim lo, you should tell him, b'shal shepirash mimcha, when I separated from you, Yaakov, lo beparshas egla arufa yisi oisek, wasn't I learning the portion of the laws of the decapitated calf? Therefore it's written, vayares agolos vatchiruach. In other words, Yosef gave a sign to Yaakov, that Yaakov will know for sure that this is Yosef, that before Yosef left, the last thing that he learned is the parsha of Egla Rufa, the parsha of the decapitated calf. The portion of the decapitated calf is in Dvorim, chapter 21, pasuk 4. And the halacha of the decapitated calf is that if it's a corpse is found lying in the open and there is no witnesses on the murder, in other words, nobody saw who killed this person. So the Torah prescribes that the elders of the town closest to this body should take a calf, take it into a rocky, uncultivated valley, and decapitate it there. And they have to declare that their hand is not culpable on this murder. And they also pray for the forgiveness of the Jewish people. This is the ritual of the Egla Rufa, of the decapitated calf. And according to the Medrash, this is the last thing that Yaakov taught Yosef. So Yosef was giving a hint that look at the decapitated calf, you'll know for sure that this is me. And according to this, we have to change the meaning, agolois that Yosef sent, the wagons that Yosef sent. And we have to say that look at the egglois, he was hinting about the Egla Rufa from the word calf, but not from the word wagons. Sefer Rechovos HaNoros explains that Yosef, by sending wagons and not sending chariots, because since he sent horses, he could have sent chariots to bring Yaakov down, but he chose specifically to tell his brother, go show Yaakov the wagons that are drawn by calves, by cows, by bulls, then Yaakov will get the hint that Yosef is trying to tell him that the last thing they learned is the story of the Egla Rufa about a calf. According to Rechovos HaNoor, comes out that we are not required to change the whole meaning of the sentence, that it doesn't mean the wagons that Yosef sent, but it means the calf that Yosef sent, because agolois is wagons, egglois means calves. We could say the fact that he sent wagons, which wagons are called wagons because they are pulled by calves, because otherwise Besarichbois, Sus Veruchboi Rama Vayam would call chariots, and Egypt was known mostly for chariots because the horses pull those things, and here he sent wagons, So the fact that he sent wagons, not chariots, that proved clearly to Yaakov that he wants to hint him something else. What does he want to hint him? He wants to hint him about the decapitated calf. There are other interpretations on what hint was given by the fact of Egla Arufa. Last year's CD, I mentioned a couple different interpretations, and this year we'll give more interpretations on that idea of Egla Arufa, of the decapitated calf. Rav Nissen Alpert on Sefer Limud HaNissen brings that the idea of the decapitated calf is what is written in the Parsha of the decapitated calf. There, on chapter 21, Pasuk number 7, it says that the elders have to come and they have to say, Yodeinu lo yishufcha es adam hazeh, our hands did not spill this blood, ve'neinu lo yirau, and our eyes did not see. And then, Kaper l'amcha Yisrael, forgive the Jewish people, Asher podisa Hashem, that you have redeemed, v'altiten damnoki bekerev am Yisrael, and do not place innocent blood among the Jewish people, in the Kaper l'amadam, then the blood should be atoned for him. In other words, the elders of the town closest to him, together the Sanhedrin, which has to be the full Sanhedrin, they have to come and they have to declare that we are not guilty and this happening and we didn't do this. And then we have to ask atonement for the old Jewish people. The question is, why you have to atone for all the Jewish people? You should only atone for the people next to it, for the people that are in the town. Those people who potentially could have helped this person, those people should be the ones that require to have atonement. But why do all the Jewish people require to have atonement because of this action? This action is a local action, and people from the other corner of Eretz Yisrael have no idea who this person who died is, and they have no idea who the killer was. So why do they require to have atonement? And the answer is because of the principle Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LoZeh, that every Jew is connected to the other Jew. He becomes responsible for him. He becomes his guarantor. In other words, every Jew is responsible to make sure that the other Jew is okay and that any other Jew is in a proper spiritual level. And I cannot say that this is not my business. It's everybody's business to make sure that every Jew is in the proper emotional, spiritual, physical, and halachic good condition. Because otherwise, we suffer because we gave a guarantee on that person. Therefore, when somebody dies, not only the people next to the town are responsible, sure, they are the ones that have to do the procedure, but atonement is required for all the Jewish people because of the principle Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LoZeh, that all Jewish people are responsible one to another. And that really was Yosef's shita all the way along. That Yosef, when Yosef brought the evil reports to the father about their brothers, Yosef's intention wasn't just to bring Lashon Hara and cause his brothers to be in trouble. Yosef's intention was that the father should rebuke them, and by the father rebuking them, they will change their ways, because Yosef believed in the principle Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LoZeh, that he becomes responsible for them. Therefore, he has to make sure that they do the right thing. Also, when the brothers were in Shechem and Yaakov sends Yosef to check on their welfare, Yosef says, Hineni, here I am. This is the only time where the word Hineni is said after the commandment. Normally, it says, Avram, Avram, Vayomer Hineni, and Hashem tells you afterwards what he wants you to do. Also, on this week's Parsha, on chapter 46, Pasuk number 2, Hashem tells Yaakov, 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 and Yaakov answers Hineni, and only after that is where Hashem tells him what he wants him to do. So always Hineni comes before we actually are commanded to do anything. In other words, here I am, I'm ready, always comes before you are commanded to do. Here, when Yosef is sent to Shechem, that is the only time where Yosef actually listens to the commandment of his father, and yet he still says, Hineni, I'm ready to do. So Rashi explains that Yosef is saying, I'm ready to do my commandment of my father, even though I know my brothers hate me, I'm still ready to go check the welfare of my brothers and to see what they're doing, because I have a responsibility of arvus, I have a responsibility of brotherhood to my brothers, to all Jews, because the principle that I live by, that Yosef lives by, is Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Loze, that all Jewish people are responsible to one another. Therefore, even though Yosef knew that the brothers hate him, even though Yosef knew that he's putting himself at risk, Yosef still decided that he has to follow that principle no matter what. Therefore, Yosef went, even though he knew his brothers hate him. But now that the brothers come and the brothers tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive and Yosef is the ruler over Egypt, Yaakov became very upset. How is it possible that his favorite son did not come to see him for 22 years? For 22 years, Yosef doesn't come to see Yaakov. Is it possible that his son should be the ruler of Egypt in a place that is so bad, that's full of sin? How is it possible that Yosef left his way in life, in other words, in Torah mitzvahs, and he forgot the whole learning of Egla Rufa, that all Jews are responsible to one another? How is it possible that Yosef forgot his father and brothers and didn't care at all what happens to them? Therefore, Yaakov heard that Yosef is alive, but Yaakov did not want to believe that Yosef changed in such a way that he totally disregards his own modern life, his own belief, his own dictum, that Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Loze, that all Jews are responsible to one another, because Yosef didn't do anything to help his brothers, to help him, to find out, to feed him, nothing. But after they heard everything that Yosef said those words, V'alto al te'otzu v'alicha be'neichem, and you do not become sad and should not become angry in your eyes, ki machartem moisi, that you sold me, ki lemichya sholochan elokim lifneichem, that Hashem has sent me in front of you in order to provide for you. And pasuk number 7 says, vayishlocheni elokim lifneichem, and Hashem has sent me ahead of you, losim lochem she'eris ba'aretz, to make sure that you'll have survival in this land, ulaachyos lochem, and to make sure to sustain you, lifleito gedoilo, for a momentous deliverance. In other words, that Hashem has put me here in order to be able to support you, in order to be able to feed you. That is the only reason that I came down to Egypt, not for my own sake, only because of you. Then you see that Yosef still believes in the idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Loze, because he's explaining that that is the only reason that he was sent to Egypt. Then Yaakov heard everything that Yosef said, and in together he saw the Agolos. He realized that the Egla Rufa, he realized the principle of the Egla Rufa is still present, that Yosef still believes that you are required to help somebody else, and that is the only reason that he suffered, because Hashem wanted him to be the savior. He wanted him because of the lesson of the Egla Rufa. That's why Yosef realized that this is his mission. So therefore, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam, Yaakov's spirit became revived, because Yosef's mission is still intact and his beliefs are still there. Therefore, Yaakov's spirits became revived. The Divrei Yoel brings a perplexing medrash, and he brings that the medrash says, Kivin Shero Yaakov Esagolos Ashesholach Yosef, as soon as Yaakov saw the wagons that Yosef sent, Omar, Yaakov said, Bevada ani yodeya, now I know for sure, Sheloichoto Yosef be'eshes Potiphar, that Yosef did not sin with the wife of Potiphar. The story of Potiphar and his wife appears on chapter 39, pasuk number 7, all the way through 20. There we know that the wife of Potiphar accused Yosef of trying to have relations with her. According to Rashi, she actually accused Yosef of having relations, even though we know the truth, because the Torah tells you clearly that Yosef did not have relations. But Yaakov maybe did not know if that is true or that is not true. But as soon as Yaakov saw the calves, the agolos that Yosef sent, then Yaakov knew that Yosef is innocent, that Yosef did not have relations with the wife of Potiphar. How the Medrash connects these two things is a question that a lot of Mefarshim try to tackle, and I wanted to answer based on a simple Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph. There, the Gemara in Brachas says, "V'chen tono mori bar berei d'Ravuna berei d'Raviyah me'barave," and so Mori, the son of Ravuna, the son of Rav Yehuda bar Abba, learned, "Alipoter odem chaveroi, a person should not take leave of his friend, elu mitoich dvar halacha, only discussing a matter of halacha, shemitoch kach zochreu. By doing this, by discussing a matter of halacha, you will remember your friend, you remember the person whom you dealt with." Which means that whenever you say goodbye to your friend, whenever your friend is going somewhere, you are required to learn halacha before, and by you learning this halacha before, you will remember your friend. So Yosef was telling his father that, remember, right before we left, we learned the halachas of Egla Rufa, the halachas of the decapitating calf. Automatically, by Yosef reminding his father that he learned the halachas of the decapitating calf, automatically Yaakov knew that Yosef never forgot Yaakov. Because we just mentioned that when you leave somebody, you have to say halacha, and through that halacha, you remember the person that sent you off. And the person that sent off Yosef was Yaakov. So Yosef would automatically be remembering Yaakov. And if Yosef was remembering Yaakov, then Yaakov automatically knew that Yosef could not have sinned. Why? Rashi brings down on the Pasuk, when Yosef came home to do his work, which is on chapter 39, Pasuk number 11, Rashi says that according to one opinion, Yosef came to have relations with the wife of Potiphar, but at the last minute, he decided not to do it because the image of his father appeared to him. He saw his father's image, and because of that, he abstained from having relations with the wife of Potiphar. In other words, Yosef was finally going to give in to his urges, but he remembered his father. He saw the image of his father, and once Yosef saw the image of his father, he was able to control himself, and he was able to separate from the wife of Potiphar. I wanted to say that this is exactly what the Medrash here wants to say. That as soon as Yaakov saw the agolois that Yosef sent, and as we mentioned from the Medrash Rabbah and from Rashi, the agolois that Yosef sent doesn't mean the wagons that he sent. Yosef was hinting to his father that the last thing they learned was the parsha of Egla Rufa, the parsha of the decapitating cow, and that is definitely a dvar halacha, definitely a halachic teaching. Therefore, Yosef would automatically be remembering of his father, because that is the reason that you say a dvar halacha before you leave, in order for the person leaving to remember the person who stayed behind. Therefore, Yosef remembered Yaakov. Once Yosef remembered Yaakov, then Yaakov Avinu realized that Yosef could not have sinned, because since the image of Yaakov would prevent Yosef from sinning, therefore, as soon as he saw the agolois, the hint that Yosef was sending to Yaakov by the agolois, Yaakov knew automatically that Yosef could not have sinned. I want to add an interesting point that Sefer Noam Megadim brings down. Sefer Noam Megadim in his Akdama says that the rule that you are required to quote a person when you're repeating something that the person said, that only applies when you are quoting a halacha, a term of law. But if you are quoting a Agada, just a Agadic kind of interpretation, which has no consequence in halacha, then you are not required to quote the person you heard from. And he brings a proof from this Gemara that we just mentioned. Since the Gemara says that in order for a person to remember his friend, he should repeat a halacha, a law, halacha, why does the Gemara specifically say halacha and doesn't say just a dvar Torah, that when you say goodbye to your friend, just tell him a dvar Torah? Must be that if you say halacha, the person is going to be required to quote you. once he's required to quote you, he'll remember you. But since the Gemara picks only a halacha and doesn't say Dvar Torah, therefore, Sefer Noam Megadim deduces that had it been a Dvar Agada, has it been something that's not law, then you are not required to quote that person because has no consequence who said it. A halacha, you have to know exactly who said it because you have to trace this halacha all the way to make sure that there is no mistakes in the halacha. But Haggadah, you're not required to trace it. Therefore, you're not required to quote. Therefore, you may forget the person who told you that halacha. Also, Mefarshim explained that's important for you to know that whenever you repeat something from somebody, you're required to visualize that person standing in front of you and telling you. And that fits very well with what we just mentioned, that since Yosef was telling Yaakov, remember, you taught me the halacha of Egla Rufa, I'm required to quote you because this is halachic kind of law. Therefore, I'm required to visualize you. Once Yosef had to visualize Yaakov, Yaakov knew automatically that Yosef could not have sinned. And Hashem Yisburach should help that you should take this message of being responsible to one another from Yosef, and we should make sure that our fellow men are taken care physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And if we worry about the other person, then Hashem will worry more about us, because we know that the way that we act to our fellow man, Hashem acts toward us, and that will merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheiro b'yomeinu, Amen.